Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And we rekindle the flame of the first love. Everybody say, stay focused on the Lord.
Stay focused on the Lord.
Rekindle the flame of the first love.
Rekindle the flame of the
stir up the gift that's within us. Amen. Because this enemy is half-heartedness. Everybody say half-heartedness. One thing is for sure, you can't come at this thing. If you're going to live a life of faith, it's going to take a wholehearted commitment to it. You can't be half-hearted. And you can go to hear all the messages on faith, go to all the seminars on faith. But if you're half-hearted, if you're not wholly committed to a life of faith, you won't live a life of faith. Can you say amen? If you're going to worship, you can't do it half-heartedly. They that worship God must. It's imperative that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we're not just talking about spiritual expressions of worship, Holy Ghost anointings. We're talking about real earnestness of spirit. We're talking about sincerity. We're talking about wholeheartedness. Can you say amen? If you're going to get involved in obeying the Word, you can't come at it half-heartedly. You've got to make an absolute commitment. Amen? To really begin to do what the Scripture says, not being a forgetful hearer. That's someone standing kind of outside of everything, just listening instead of being personally involved in it. That's what that Greek word for hear is. It's not someone that is a real intent listener, but someone that's kind of in the peripheral of it all, just standing outside listening to something, not really personally committed, not listening with the intent to obey. There's so many people that go to church and don't listen with the intent to obey. So whatever they hear breaks down when they walk out the door in their life because their heart's not in it. Amen? The Word of God can't work unless it's in a heart that is wholehearted. There's four different degrees of or four different areas of heart that the seed can fall in. Three of them, there are no fruit in it, but one of them is called good ground. And every time it falls in good ground, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Can you say amen? So if you're not progressing and you're under the anointed Word of God, hallelujah, or you're listening to the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God, and the changes are not coming, progressive, dramatic changes. How many know if God is working progressively in your life through His Word, by His Spirit, changes are coming. We're not just plateauing out. Someone asked me to pray for them a couple of weeks ago because they felt like they had reached a plateau. They just said, I'm leveled out. I said, well, you can't stay there. You can't camp out where you level out. Let that be something that motivates you to go on, not something that discourages you into going back. If I feel myself plateauing out, I want something to stimulate me, man. I'll search for good words somewhere. Amen. I'll try to create an atmosphere that I can come into God's presence for a fresh touch from Him, a fresh anointing. Not to stimulate my emotions, but to spiritually satisfy me. Amen. Well, let's look at this. Say it with me. In order to defeat the enemy without,
in order to defeat the enemy without,
we must first defeat the enemy within.
We must first defeat the enemy within.
Now, without saying this after me, all victory is contingent upon this simple formula. All victory. Everybody say all victory.
All victory.
All of it is contingent on this simple formula. How do you defeat the devil? Just by recognizing your authority in Christ? No. Submit yourself unto God. Then use that authority.
Amen.
Submit yourself unto God. This enemy within has to be conquered first. Then the enemy without can be conquered. And the problem is a lot of people that's never conquered, amen, the heart that is not totally committed to Christ and His Lordship, are trying to defeat a devil that's appealing to those areas of their life, amen, that don't belong to Jesus and are under His Lordship.
Amen.
And you can't just use authority to do that unless you have bowed to the full measure of the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. The Bible said that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man in the book of James. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust. Everybody say the enemy within. The enemy without is appealing to an unconquered part of your heart that Christ hasn't yet conquered,
amen,
that you haven't yet given up to Him,
amen,
that I haven't given up to Him. If you're constantly, amen, being defeated by anger and you're letting it get the best of you and spoil your testimony, an enemy within needs to be conquered. I've got good news for you. That enemy can be conquered.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? Holy Spirit's in you to help you conquer that enemy. But it can't be conquered while you deny its existence and blame the devil for it or blame people for it. Amen. Everybody's got a button. I'm not talking about your belly button. But everybody's got a button. Amen. Except Adam. Adam didn't have a belly button. Thank you. Did you ever think about that? I think about real deep things. Like the fact that he wasn't born of a woman, so there was no umbilical cord, so there was no belly button. He would look kind of strange. I mean, as funny as belly buttons are, you'd look even funnier without one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This real flat stomach, you know, washboard abs, no belly button. You say, what's wrong with this picture? Hallelujah. Eve didn't have one either. Everybody else got one, but Adam and Eve didn't have one. Amen. Hallelujah. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look at Adam and say, let me see your belly. Come on, boy. I told him you didn't have a belly button. Couldn't have a belly button, could he? That's theologically correct, isn't it? I'm softening you up from the hard stuff this morning, trying to get a smile on your face. Amen, because I want you to defeat the enemy within. I don't want you to get discouraged. People plateau out. They have a problem with the flesh. They get discouraged. They don't use their faith anymore when they're discouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. And the faith that's been built in them meticulously by God through the Holy Spirit is now not useful to them or to God because we get into the doldrums. You know what the doldrums, you ever heard the word doldrums? It's in the dictionary, this place of inactivity, this place of laxity, this place where you're just kind of sitting back doing nothing. Amen. Going nowhere. There's a place out in the ocean where the winds will suddenly cease and sailing ships were left for days. Sitting, amen, and they couldn't go anywhere because the wind just ceased. And sometimes 3 days, sometimes a week, a church. Now that would be years. Some of them have sat for years, amen. But a boat, I'm not trying to trick you, honestly, I'm not. It's a slip of the tongue. Hallelujah. Well, I just told you how great you were, and now I'm going to nail you. Can you say amen? A church, listen, but we're in, you know, the doldrums, men, that's where the word came from. It's that time when the wind just stops, and there's nothing in the sails, and you just languish there. There's nothing you can do but sit there. It can come to a church. It can come to a Christian. It can come to great kings in the Bible. We can lose that zeal and we can lose that enthusiasm. And everything can be just matter of fact and mediocre. We can become lethargic and apathetic. We can just sit back. Someone said the only reason that evil can prevail is when good men do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to read this from 2 Kings. Elisha was getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. How many know your body someday will break down? How many? No, just don't even go there. Let's go on. God can keep us until that time comes. And He does. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. So that meant he was sick at this time, doesn't it? It was whatever was going to bring him to his death was now operative in his body. His body was failing. This body will fail. Amen. Life and immortality comes through the gospel because once this body drops, you move into a body that God has prepared until the resurrection of this body, and that one is immortal and incorruptible. But this one is mortal and it is corruptible. Can you say amen? So something is going to take us out. We live long enough in Christ tarries, every one of us, something is going to break down to take you out. One of the things scientists don't understand is why cells that reproduce themselves, what causes the aging process? What causes the deterioration? Amen? Because they can't find a scientific answer for it. Well, the answer is in the book of Genesis. Death came into this world. Something spiritually happened to man to affect the body and to affect the world about him. A curse came. Hallelujah. But the curse is broken with Jesus Christ. I'm never going to die. This body is going to go to the ground if Jesus tarries. Amen. And await the resurrection. My spirit's going to go to God. And the Bible said when I go to God, I'm not going to be a spirit without a body, but there's something not made with hands. This body was formed out of the dust initially. Amen. The mold for everyone's body. Amen. God formed it out of the dust with His own hands. But there's something waiting in the heavenlies that isn't made with hands. It's not of the material, but it is an actual body. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to drop this one and get that one. So Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. Now, everybody say he was weak. His body was weak. He was weak. He was headed, amen, toward his last days. So I want you to understand the context of this. This man's getting ready to die. He's sick. He's weak. He's emaciated. And Joash, the king of Israel. Now, Joash was a mighty king. He's in the prime of his life. He's full of energy. He's full of strength on the outside. Everybody say on the outside. But not on the inside. But not on the inside. Not on the inside. Half-heartedness is the greatest hindrance to revival in the church of Jesus Christ. It is not our enemies without. It is not our culture. It is half-heartedness among Christian people. There are people this morning that any little thing is going to throw them. The Bible speaks of them this way, people that are taken captive by Satan at his own will. Paul talked about those half-hearted Christians. He said, you did run well for a while. Come on. For a little while, you really went for God. And then he asked him, what is it that hindered you? Because see, if you got around Paul, nothing you said would be acceptable. Can you say amen? He said, I've been beaten with rods. 3 times. I've been whipped, beaten within an inch of my life on 5 occasions, given 39 stripes. I've been shipwrecked. I've been among false brethren. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been put in prison. I've been in the deep for a day and a night. I've been in peril of sword. I've been naked and I've been hungry. What's your problem?
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Someone said, how could Paul keep such victory? Oh, I feel this sermon today. Amen. How could Paul keep such victory when he was in prison? Amen. And this is just a story that someone said, why is he so victorious and joyous even though he's sitting there in chains? How can he have such victory when he's in prison like that? And someone that heard them, a Christian that knew Paul, said, he's in love. He keeps victory because he's in love.
Hallelujah.
My Bible said love believes all things. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. Spoke of faith and hope and love. But the greatest of these, the greatest force of all, is love. Because when you love something, truly love, you become wholehearted. Can you say amen? Half-heartedness stops God, limits God. Keeps God from moving. Keeps God from showing us His glory. Can you say amen? So God is wanting to stir our hearts. He wants to start it with the flame of the first love. Because if the flame of the first love begins to burn for God, you'll want to obey Him. When you want to obey Him and put your heart in it, you'll begin to obey Him. I'll guarantee you, if you want to obey God and you find a problem with it, and you will find a problem with it. I'm not talking about the things that you're good at. I'm talking about the stuff that you find difficult. Like loving your enemy. Like turning the other cheek. Like holding your peace. Like letting no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that's good to building up. Try it sometime. You're going to need some help from above. It's going to take supernatural endowment for you to do that. Amen. Nobody can bridle. Listen, the Bible said your tongue there. Everybody say my tongue. It's set on fire of hell. And no man can tame it. And yet the Bible said, if you don't bridle it, your whole religion's in vain. And then it went on to say, but no man can tame it. But that's exactly why God gave us the paraclete. That's exactly why the comforter has come. That's exactly why He placed His Spirit within you. Not just so you can jump and shout on Sunday morning, but so you can walk in obedience Monday through Friday and Saturday. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Holy Ghost is here to help us obey. But you've got to have your heart set on God. You get your heart set on God, you'll want to obey Him. What a boon to faith when you love Him. A big part of faith, a big element in faith is obedience. God says He wants something done, and by faith you go out and do it. Noah, moved by fear, by faith did what God told him to do. He built an ark. So faith is not just waiting till you feel something. Faith is saying, God is God. I bow to Him. He said it, and by faith I'm going to do it. Can you say amen? Everybody say, faith is acting on God's Word. And love makes me want to act on it. Hallelujah. So when the first love is rekindled, Yeah, I'm still going on. When the first love is rekindled, I'm going to find myself using my faith. Hallelujah. You understand how this is interconnected? God's not just asking you to believe. He said, fall in love to me to where you want to obey me with all of your heart. And when I bid you to come and get out of the boat, you'll get out of the boat and come. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. If I tell you that something can be done, you say, yay, Lord. Amen, Lord. I love you, Lord. My heart is wholeheartedly committed to you. Solves the obedience issue. It solves the faith issue. It solves, amen, this attitude that we win a few, we lose a few, we're on and we're off, we're hot and we're cold. Even Christ said, I want you to be wholehearted. I would that you were hot or cold. I want you to be so backslid and so out of it and so lost that you can be convicted, or so saved, hallelujah, that when I knock on the door to purify you, that you open that door and you welcome me into your life with open arms. Amen. But because you're lukewarm, hallelujah, you won't let me in, but you won't admit your depravity. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. If there's one thing that runs throughout all of Scripture, is that everything that God calls you to do, He calls you to do it with all of your heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is not a religion for the dispassionate. This is not a religion for the part-time Christian. Or the sometime Christian. This calls for all out commitment. Christ said nothing less than denying yourself and taking up your cross will make you a disciple of mine. Can you say amen? And your love to me, for me, is to be so passionate that if you compare it to the love for the people you love the most, it would seem as hate in comparison. Because if anybody comes to follow me and hate not his daddy, his mama, his husband, his wife, yea, his house, his land, that solves the issue of the materialistic culture. That solves the issue of people and things being more important than Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. This rekindling of love and the development of a passionate heart solves the issue. Hallelujah. Amen. Is Jesus trying to make it hard? No, honey. He's trying to make it easy. It gets easy when you love Him with everything. It's difficult when you don't. Hello? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you who's got the sad sack faces. We all had problems when we come in. I'm not talking about you per se. I'm telling you there are people who look like a cloud is hanging over their head during worship. A cloud is hanging over their head during the word. A cloud is hanging over their head. There's a guy in Little Abner. I don't know what they called him. Everywhere he went, there was a dark cloud with lightning. Everywhere he went. Anybody know his name? I'm the oldest guy here. Oh, y'all! I know y'all were always reading Scripture. You didn't read the funnies. I know. Praise God. But there was this guy in the Little Abner comic. You don't even remember Little Abner comic. Anyway, there was this guy. You don't remember Little Abner? Daisy May and the foot race? You being a bachelor, a young, healthy bachelor? My Lord. Sadie Hawkins Day. Somebody say Sadie Hawkins Day. We may have one just for him. Hallelujah. The idea is all the bachelors run, the women try to catch them, and if you catch them, they have to marry you. He may have the gift of singleness. You better let him alone. Hallelujah. I don't know. He got a cat. Anyway, moving right along. Somehow I can't. Can't picture Michael just stroking that kitty. You know, sweet little kitty. I don't know. I love the cats, too. I love them. They're sweet. The cat's not very nice. And you love it anyway, though. You feed it. Yeah. Take care of it. Yeah, it's got your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's this guy in Little Abner, and he goes around, and there's this cloud over him. You know what puts a cloud over Christians? That really shrouds, puts our light under a bushel, shrouds, amen, our passion, our personal conviction for Christ. It's when we're not wholly committed to Him. Amen? So there's tension between us and God. Constant tension. There's not that peace. There's not that presence. Amen? Sometimes when I preach and I know it's right on what God is saying, I know it might cost me this church member or that one, because I know that this is going to hit home, and I know you've got to love God to open your heart and let Him change you. Can you say amen? And I know the moment that anointing comes in that area that it's going to offend someone, and someone that loved me and hugged my neck and said, boy, I'm glad I came to this church, Pastor. Can you say amen? Are going to cut me off like I never lived? Can you say amen? I won't get a letter or an email. I won't get a Christmas card. I won't even get anything bad or anything good. I will cease to exist. Amen. I know it's going to come sometime just by telling the truth. Why? Because something's wrong. God wants to fix it, and they don't want to open their heart to get it fixed. Can you say amen? But if you open your heart, God ain't going to hurt you. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to point His finger at you. He's going to begin a fresh, new, anointed, appointed work within your heart, within your life. Can you say amen? But I can look at people that have these half-hearted relationships with God. Amen. But not really sold out to Him. When push comes to shove, we make the choices that are wrong. Then we come to church under guilt and condemnation. We come to church, amen, trying to feign something that isn't really happening in our life. And we say we're fine when we're not. We say we love Christ when we don't even know the true definition of loving the Lord. Because there's only one acceptable way to love God. Hallelujah. And it's not with intermittent church attendance.
Right.
And intermittent giving when we feel good and we feel like it's worth it. Or we can afford it. Intermittent serving. We obey the things we want to obey. We disobey and then justify our disobedience. It's only one way to love God. One way.
Yes.
The first commandment. Christ said it's the greatest one of all. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with most of thy heart. With 99.9999% of your heart. No, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Everything. That's what Paul was soliciting in Christians when he said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. He loved you. He gave His Son for you in essence, to wit, He died for you on the cross. Therefore, present your body unto Him. Could you say amen? Give your heart away. Give yourself away wholeheartedly. A living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. And acceptable unto the Lord. Which is your reasonable service. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And He wanted to stimulate it by getting the first love rekindled. Or if it wasn't there at all, to get that first love. To get it started in their life. Because He knew what wholehearted commitment would bring. I read about the Great Welsh Revival, and especially the revival that touched young people. This wasn't just an old folk revival. This touched young people. People that were really susceptible to Satan's temptations. And it touched them and it shook them and it stirred them. And one of the beginnings was in one of the churches, one of the local churches. A young woman who had gotten saved 4 days earlier. A teenage girl stood up to give her testimony. And this is what she said. And they said the place was literally shaken with the power of God when she said it. It's so simple. It's so simple. So simple. But it's a sign that true revival is emerging. She said, and they were taking turns giving their testimony, and she was trembling under the presence of God. And she said, I love Jesus with all of my heart. Real revival is not just an increase in prophetic utterances. It is not holy laughter. Real revival is not holy laughter. That's an expression of the Holy Spirit. Have no problem with that. That is not real revival. Holy laughter will not save America. It won't keep your marriage together. Can you say amen? It won't get that cloud. That guy with the cloud. David knew that cloud of depression, that cloud of discouragement. He said, boy, when I held my peace, when my heart was getting cold on God and I fell into temptations and I didn't get it right with God and I tried to conceal my sin and I internalized all of that, he said, when I held it in Psalm 32, amen, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Amen. He said, when I held my peace, when he didn't repent and he held it all in, amen, that enemy on the inside was eating him up. Can you say, man, it was eating him up? And if he didn't get it right, pretty soon the enemy on the outside would be able to defeat him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. So he had lost that wholehearted zeal and dedication to the Lord, and until he saw himself and repented and came completely clean with God. But when he did, he said, my bones wax old with roaring all day long. There was tension between him and God. There was no peace. There was no real presence of God anymore in his life. David was now isolated and cold and indifferent. Amen. Listen, church, you can't play at this thing. I've known some of you for years, and we've had touches of God and mighty moves of God and shakings and quakings of God in our spirit. But God is yet to capture your heart because your heart hasn't been totally set upon Him. And we're so small, I can't help but notice. I love you, but I can tell when that cloud's over you. And I know it's not your circumstances. I'm telling you, if your heart is filled with the flame of God this morning, there is no circumstance that can quench that flame. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, never ends and never fails. That's why it's the greater force, the greater virtue. Passionate heart will lead you to faith. I said a passionate heart will lead you to great faith. Because a passionate heart wants to obey. And obeying Him because He said it is the essence of faith. Faith is not complicated. It is believing that the Word of God is true and acting accordingly. That's what faith is. Hallelujah. It's not a feeling. It is a commitment to obey. Everybody say commitment to obey.
Commitment to obey.
Hallelujah. God says, trust me with your troubles. You do it. That's how faith is used. Hallelujah. Commit thy works unto the Lord. So shall thy thoughts be established. Praise God. That doesn't mean to try to preconceive what God's will is in your life and bend Him to your will. It means to get rid of your agenda altogether. I'd like to be a missionary. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is, what does God want you to be? Commit that way unto the Lord. Say, it don't matter if I'm a missionary. It don't matter if I'm a lady evangelist or a male preacher. It doesn't matter what I am. What matters is that what I am is what God wants me to be. He said, then I can really get your thoughts established. Can you say that? See, love just bends you to His will. Bows you to His will. Amen. So many people trying to use faith for their own agenda. Even though their agenda is good, it may not be God. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, don't think of a wicked way just in the area of the honky-tonks and the bars and the brothels and the drinking and the carousing and the X-rated movies. Don't just think of it as those kind of things. Think of it as any way that doesn't acknowledge that God is sovereign and God is to be bowed to. It. God has a will and God has a plan and God has a purpose. You believe in your heart that God wants you to do something, you're hitting a brick wall every time you try to do it. You're going to get angry at people. You're going to get angry at the circumstances. You're going to get bitter. You're going to get filled with tension. Amen. You've got to just relax at some point and say, Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want me to and mean it. Because He may want you to do just what you're doing for now. And if you're dissatisfied with that, then you need to get that enemy within fixed, because your personal witness now is contingent on what's going to happen somewhere in the future when you come into your ministry. Why can't your ministry begin by being loving and kind? How about the ministry to the body? Everybody wanting to go minister across the water and don't want to cross the aisle in the church. People want to go to foreign lands, but they don't want to minister to one another. The body's supposed to build itself up in love. We need some ministers within the church to minister to the church. We need someone to cross the aisle when someone's in need and pray with them. We need someone to go in the bedroom at home and intercede for that person you see the cloud over on Sunday. Hallelujah. You may be in your ministry. You may be where God wants you to be. It may not be near as big as you thought it was going to be. You may not be getting the glory and honor you thought you deserved. But it could be you're where God wants you this morning. Could be. It could happen. Unless He gives you further instruction, it well might be. He's well capable of telling you of anything else. Peter was looking at a man when Jesus was talking to him, and he was saying, Jesus telling him all these instructions about his ministry, and he looks over at a man standing there Jesus isn't talking to and isn't addressing. And Peter says, what about him? Isn't that something we're always looking in the peripheral? You're laying all this on me. What about her? What about dinner? What's she got to do? Amen? Oh, you told me to go do this now. What about dinner? Get dinner too. Lay some responsibility out there on her. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said? Boy, he just, oh, wow. He made a statement. He said, if I want him to stand there till I come, if that's what I will, then he's in my will. He looked at Peter and said, what is that to thee? What's that got to do with what I'm telling you? Can you say amen? There used to be a song back in the 80s during the Jesus movement that said, no one wants to play second fiddle behind Jesus. Everyone wants to be the lead singer in the band. Hello? Basically, my human nature and yours is looking for the limelight, the spotlight. We live in a culture that exalts me. The me generation, that's what it's called. It's marked by hedonism, narcissism. You've heard the story of Narcissus. We get the word narcissism. Amen. It's self-love. And when self-love there's always a hidden agenda. There's a hidden agenda of what you do for God, because what you do for God, some things people were doing for God was to be seen of men. Some giving was to be seen of men. The Bible said in the area of giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Isn't that incredible? Don't make a big show, a big fanfare. I like the way this guy gave it work, because he'd come up to me and he had his hand down like this and he placed something in my hand like, you know, some secret thing was going on. And he says, put this on the work of the Lord. I took it. I said, okay, I will. Hallelujah. Then I run upstairs to the locker and looked at it. I ain't going to lie to you. I wanted to see what it was. I thought it might be $100. It was $2,500. I said, Lord, thank you. But beyond the money, you spoke to somebody about us. You spoke to somebody about us. What am I supposed to do with that fact and that reality? Amen. Am I supposed to sit back and say, well, I don't know why we're not growing. I don't know what we're supposed to do. Amen. No, God is speaking to people about us. He could be talking to somebody right now. If we don't just kind of get the doldrums, can you say, amen? God could be speaking to a heart right now to build us a building. To give us a building. He could be speaking to their heart to write off the mortgage and say, you paid enough, we just feel like letting you have the rest. I mean, it could happen. We wasn't supposed to be here. They wasn't supposed to hold the mortgage, but they did. God spoke to their heart. I didn't. The realtor told me, no way, Jose. They'd had a bad experience in their first financial dealing, and they were all bitter about it. The board was bitter about it. Said, we ain't holding no mortgage for nobody, for nothing. I said, fine with me. If God's in it, He's in it. If God isn't in it, we don't want it. How about it, church? If God's in it, let's do it. If God isn't in it, let's find out what He is in and do that. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's don't get bitter and let's don't get bent out of shape. Let's commit our way into the Lord and our thoughts shall be established. That means He can really show us His true will. Let's get rid of our hidden agendas and let God be God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel encouraged this morning. Here, we look so humble sitting here. Amen. If they got one of those, you know, if they took the roof off this building and they went up about 500 feet in a helicopter and shot a shot of us, we'd look like an anthill. That had been treated with some kind of poison, just a few ants survived. But we tough ants, can you say, man? God is good. Something about yielding. Let me get in this message. It's almost over and I haven't started. Well, I've started. I feel good today because I feel like God is at work. I feel like things have been set in motion. I feel like the only thing that can stop it is us. And I don't want to stop it. I want to see it through. Hallelujah. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, wherever he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, Joash is king of Israel, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof." Now, I want you to be careful as we read this verse, not to put all of your faith in the anointing on any individual, but in God Himself. There will be times this prophet's going to go. But God would have been God in Joash's life. Can you say amen? God wasn't going anywhere. Amen. Elisha knew that. Better than anybody, Elisha knew that. Because Elisha is the one that made a whole... Everybody say wholehearted.
Wholehearted.
A wholehearted commitment. To be the recipient of the anointing. When Elijah, the senior prophet, he was just a servant to Elijah. And he said, "I want a double." Everybody say wholehearted.
Wholehearted.
"I don't want just enough God," he said, "to get me by." He said, "In fact, I don't want as much God as you got. I want a double portion. And I don't want it to be great." He wanted it to be an effective prophet and minister to Israel, because God will not give you a double portion so you can be greater than somebody. He didn't want to be greater than Elijah. He wanted to be, he said, if anointings are available, if God gives anointings to men to serve Him and to serve His people, then I want a double portion of that anointing, because I do have a heart for God and a heart for God's people. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't competitive, is it? David didn't come down to compete and show who was the real man of God. He came down to bring bread and cheese and to serve his brethren. God blessed that passionate servant heart. Made him a champion of Israel and the greatest king, earthly king that Israel ever knew. And put him in the lineage. Through that lineage, Christ would come. Oh, by the way, there's a harlot named Rahab in that lineage. So if you think you're beyond God using or making a blessing or turning a curse into a blessing, you're very wrong about that. The greatest blessing in the universe came through a lineage that included a harlot that believed God and put out a scarlet cord, hallelujah, and acted on the word of God. Listen, this is good. So this is Elijah. He knew about what God could do, Elisha. He proved God. He said, "Master," he said, "I want a double portion of that anointing. I know it's about time for you to go. I want a double portion of that anointing." He's passionate about it. He's committed for that. Amen. I want more. Everybody say more.
More.
So the prophet said, "Well, if you're with me when he takes," because he knew he wasn't just going to drop dead. God was going to come. He knew. He said, "If you're with me when God takes me, however that happens, if you're with me when God takes me, you can have it. But what you've asked is going to take a wholehearted commitment." Can you say amen? You can't have this today and some difficulty come along and give up on the whole thing. You've got to stick it out. You've got to stay with it. One thing that God's called us to right now is to stick this out. Stay with it. Can you say amen? If He's going to do anything for us, we're going to have to stick it out and stay with it. Because we can break this pattern that God set us on if we choose to. I don't want to do that. I want to see it through. I've been through many sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, not just a singing group out of the 70s. Amen. It's what I've been through as a minister. Glory to God. And every bit of it has been worth it all for what God has done through this little ministry. Can you say, man? God's done some big things through this little ministry. And I appreciate it. I look at us sometimes and I feel like, Lord, in heaven, we're so small. And then I look what God has done over the years and I say, Lord, look what you did with this poor boy's lunch. I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in my life this past year. I don't know what's happened in your heart. I have felt God in 30 years of ministry. If I would pull a year out and say, this is the year. If I could, this is the one. If I could replicate a year, this would be the year. This would be the most shining year of my life has been this year. Amen. I've been working harder, working longer. Amen. And yet God has moved mightier in my heart and my life this year than I've ever known Him to move. Amen. Church, if I could tell you if you could see what's in my heart right now, glory to God. This has been a great year for your preacher. This has been a wondrous year, a wonderful year. It's been a year filled with God's presence. When I study, He's there. When I pray, He's there. When I work, He's there. When I preach, He's here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? I'm not hunting God's presence anymore. I'm living in it. It's been a great year. I'm looking forward to even deeper and greater things. Hallelujah. God talks to me about the Word. I look at it and He says, look at this, son. And I say, dear Lord, I could have never found that without Your help. The Holy Spirit comes. Hallelujah. He comes in might and He comes with power. All those years of struggling, it's like the cobwebs and the clouds have lifted from my mind. Glory to God. It's revelation, George. It's powerful. It excites me. It gives me lift and buoyancy. I slept 3 hours last night. I worked 6 days in production. I ran until my feet were sore, but I ain't no ways tired this morning. There's joy for the journey, saith the Lord. There's joy for the journey. Strength, yea, power from on high. Yea, saith God, there is joy for this journey, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. I'm coming to the place that part of the fun of heaven is the trip. You know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to get a chance to demonstrate the victory of Jesus over Satan and over the world system. This is it, right? This is our chance to shine. Hallelujah. I want to live and be a living, breathing demonstration of what God can do. Alice, you blessed me. Tell me somebody come to a funeral. Amen. And God blessed in a funeral. God moved. I hadn't had much sleep. I'd stayed up, you know, to get ready. I prayed. I said, Lord, let me be a blessing. Lord, let someone be touched in that place. God adds His supernatural anointing. Can you say, man? Folks, are you ready for what I'm going to read? I got to read this before we can leave. But I want you, if I had a bow and arrow, I would do a demonstration here today. Amen. Because this is about a bow and an arrow. And God puts it in your hand. Shows you a biblical principle to stimulate your faith because God wants to help you with faith. Let me read it. Let me finish it. You got to get wholehearted in this thing. Amen? Because the part of your heart that isn't wholly set on God is the part that's vulnerable to Satan's attacks and to your own fleshly deceptions. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But the Bible said the Spirit searcheth the deep things, not only of God's heart, but of our heart. And the Word of God does the same thing. That's why some people get uncomfortable. They don't want to be exposed. And it's not like we know it. If they don't show it, we'll never know it. Can you say amen? But God's Word will expose those weaknesses within you and me. Hello? The Bible said it's a divider. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Someone said it's two-edged. One's for the devil, the other's for us. One's for pruning us and purging us. Isn't that good? But love is the motive behind it. But it's a discerner of the thoughts. Separates marrow from bone, soul from spirit. Can you say amen? And is a discerner, listen to this, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That means God knows right now if there's a hidden agenda in the heart. God knows right now what's in your heart, no matter what you say with your mouth. And it's only what you mean in your heart that matters to God. You can't rehearse any praise song that will satisfy Him if the heart doesn't back it up. You can't do any Holy Ghost dance. I mean, you can dance for joy, but you've got to walk for God when you get done dancing for joy. Someone said, I don't care how high you jump as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. That's the walking straight that involves your wholehearted commitment. And God wants to capture your heart. How committed are we today? And this is how, this particularly is how it relates to faith. Spurgeon said, give me 100 men who hate nothing but sin and love God with all their heart, and I'll shake the world for Christ. Well, I got news for Spurgeon. Jesus did it with 12.
Yes. Hallelujah.
One of them wasn't wholehearted. And one of them became the instrument of Satan. Can you say amen? Jesus shook it with 12. Wholehearted men. And you'd think he'd need a whole bunch of people to do what God done. But he needed 12 totally committed. So we got this sick man. We got this able-bodied, young, virile king. In relation to this prophet. Oh, by the way, Elisha, I like what he said. Amen. So he's following. He's serving Elijah. He's wholeheartedly committed to the double portion. He wants to be God's man. He wants to be used of God. He don't want to show out. He just wants the anointing to stay in the land. He wants men of God to still be in the land. He wants God to have a mouthpiece and God to have an instrument to work through. He's committed to that cause. Can you say amen? Amen. So they're doing all these things, and Elijah says to Elijah, it probably started bugging the prophet. After a while, it wasn't appreciation. After a while, it probably got to him. Because every time, I don't know what they had for bathroom facilities, but when somebody's standing right outside the door because he's afraid God might take you while you're in the John, can you say, man, nobody knew when, I'm serious, nobody knew when God was going to take him. After a while, you say, why don't you just go do something for a little while? Why don't you just go over? And he said, I'm going to cross over the river here. And why don't you just stay over here, for a little. He said, not so, master. I love wholehearted commitment. That's not so. No, it could happen. And when it happened, I'm going to be there. That's what God's looking for. He don't want to just give power to people, amen, that are half-hearted, amen, that have hidden agendas, but people with pure hearts and are wholehearted toward Him. Not so, master. Where you go, I'm going. I'm staying in close proximity to you. And on the day that it come, he was so close to Elijah. The whirlwind. And the chariot that was sent for him. First thing God had to do was not just take the prophet up. There were two things, a whirlwind and a chariot. One, to take the prophet up. The other, to separate Elijah the servant from the prophet. Because he was so close to him, he would suck him up, would have sucked the other one up too. I can just see him hanging onto his ankles. Woo! So God had to do this. Everybody said God had to do this to get him up, to take him up. God had to elbow him off, stiff arm him away. Everybody say wholehearted.
Oh.
Anointings are not for half-hearted people to play church with or to show out with. It's for wholehearted people that want to build up the body of Christ, that want to lay down their life for others. Hallelujah. Wholeheartedness will qualify you for anointings to be a blessing to the body, a blessing for God. It'll develop your servant heart. Hadabakisana. So Elisha knew about commitments and wholeheartedness, and he wanted to help Joash get a hold of it. Oh, when he was so committed to seeing God move, when that mantle came down and he grabbed a hold of that thing after being shoved away. By the way, everybody say a whirlwind and a chariot. One to take the prophet up. The other to separate the servant from the prophet. Isn't that incredible? God had to push him off. Glory, sticking like a flea on a dog. He was on him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he took that mantle, and he was so passionate for God. He didn't just take it and sport it and put it on his shoulder and say, nanner, 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 I'm the prophet now. Can you say amen? I'm the man. No. He said, I want God to be glorified through this anointing. Can you say amen? He said, every time Elijah moved in faith, God moved and God was glorified on the earth and glorified among the heathen. Israel was inspired and had great revival under Elijah. He said, I want to use that anointing the same way, but I've got to prove it for myself. Hallelujah. And he took that mantle and he walked up to the river Jordan and he took the mantle. Everybody say the mantle. Hallelujah. And he struck the river. Hallelujah. Like that. And when it did, he cried, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the river opened up. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. If you're satisfied with a liver shiver, if you're satisfied with a little laughter, if you're satisfied with falling out, you're never going to see the Lord God of Elijah move. Hallelujah! He wants to do bigger things than just titillate our spiritual sensibilities on Sunday morning. Hallelujah! By the way, Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. Come on, this is about a heart committed. Come on, I want you to tarry. They say there was a lot of people started out, but it got down to 120. As God, you tarry, you wait. How long? He didn't tell them how long. He said, wait until the promise comes. Tarry at Jerusalem. You wait on God. Hallelujah. You said, I've been waiting a year. Well, keep waiting. Hallelujah. Amen. If what you're praying for is worth the wait, then keep on waiting till it comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My children are worth the wait. My lost loved ones are worth the wait. The great revival that I want to be part of is going to be worth the wait. Hallelujah. Be consistent, be faithful. Jesus said, if I go, see, Elisha knew something. Prophets may be taken, but anointings don't go nowhere. Anointings are available to stay in the earth. Can you say amen? His mantle, that symbol of the anointing covering him. Amen. That mantle is now mine. And God's going to add to it. Some scholars said if you look at the miracles under Elijah and the miracles under Elisha, you'll see double the miracles because of a double portion anointing. I'm not sure about that statistic, but I do know he got what God promised. Can you say amen? I know there's enough anointing in a dead prophet's bone to raise a dead man. Hallelujah. When he's through and on top of it. Just residue. Something left over from his lifetime of ministry. Now in his bones. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Anointing is a powerful thing. Hey, Jesus went to heaven. But there's a man living there. He said, you wait in Jerusalem. Because the Comforter can't come if I don't go. But if I go, everybody say the mantle. If I go, he's going to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, there was proof that he came. That's why we're in this thing. Not just speaking in tongues to prove we've arrived somewhere spiritually, but to operate with the supernatural ability that God gives us to do his will and fulfill his purpose. Because, oh, we got to finish this message. Let's hurry. I feel the Lord here today. I feel so full. I can't hardly get it all out. It's coming in gushings. Hallelujah. But God wants to get something across to you today. We got to sickly old man about to die, but he said God's going to leave an anointing here. There's still victory for Israel. This man thinks I'm the key to victory, and I want him to know that God is the key to victory. The reason he's weeping is he said the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof, you're the great defender. You're the great man of God. You're the one that stands with such an anointing. And he wants this king to make a wholehearted commitment to be obedient and trust God and see what God would do for Israel through him. And Elisha said unto him, do you understand where we're going with this now? And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows, because there were enemies of Israel on every side. Take bow and arrows, plural. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. You can see him pulling back the arrow. You know what this sickly old prophet about to die did? He walked up behind him because I think he saw that this guy was just saying, okay, I got the bow. And he pulls it about halfway back. And you can see this sickly old prophet coming up and saying, that's not how we do this. Come on, are you with me? It said he came and put his hands on the king's hands. That's why I wish I had a bow. Amen. Because someone would hold the bow like this. In fact, I want you to stand in a holding a bow like you were holding a bow and arrow. Pull it about halfway back. Okay, so see, God said, take a bow, take some arrows, and point it toward the east, toward where your enemies are. So he pulls it about halfway back, and the prophet says, no, that's not how you do it. He puts his hand on his hand. And he puts his hand, stand this way, so he puts his hand on this hand. Now this is the sickly prophet and the great king. in all of his vitality. And the sickly prophet says, no, that's not how you use faith. You don't just take the bow, take the arrow, matter-of-factly, mediocre. No, this is how you do it. You take the bow and you pull it back. Amen? You don't pull it halfway back. You're not lackadaisical and lackadocious. This is God's supernatural. See, what he was trying... there's rich, rich symbolism here. You know what that means is when you stand, amen, in God's will and God's purpose for anything in your life, amen, God wants to put his hand on your hand and he wants to put his hand on your hand. You know there are bows that are so strong you can't hardly pull them back, amen. It depends on the strength of the bow, amen. But when God puts his hand here and God puts his hand, Elisha says that's how the anointing works. You take the bow, you have a whole heart for God, amen. You have the intent to pull it back with all your might, and God's going to put his hand here and God's going to put his hand there, and this is what you can expect. You can expect the supernatural now, hallelujah, to be aiding you. The supernatural is going to abet you against your enemy. It's not going to just you in your natural strength. It's going to be you with God's hands on your hands. Hallelujah. And what you can't defeat in your strength, you will defeat with his strength. Can you say amen? He said, this is not how you do it. Not this half-hearted attempt at victory, this hopefulness. I hope we can survive without Elijah. I hope God will come through. No, God will always come through. We have a covenant with God. Can you say amen? You've tried to use spiritual weaponry in your strength, but I say unto you, I've come to give you my strength, saith God. And the things that did not work in the past against your enemies, yea, will work from this day forward, saith God. For your enemies will fall before you if you will wholeheartedly trust me and love me and serve me. Everything else will fall into place as it is written, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. And he put his hands on the king's hands. He said, open the window eastward. And he opened it, and Elisha said, shoot! And he shot the arrow. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed him. And he said, now the old prophet has given him another lesson in faith. He said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite the ground with them. Half-heartedness does everything halfway. Hello? So he took the arrows. And here's what he did. He went, see, that's how some people do things. Oh, okay. You know, he's trying to show him. You don't pull that bow halfway. You don't do it without enthusiasm. You don't do it, amen, just go to church and say, yeah, I'll give that a shot. I'll give that a try. And then come back to church and say, it didn't work. No, it didn't work because your heart wasn't in it. It always works when your heart's in it. If you want to defeat the flesh and get your heart set on serving God and pleasing Him, amen, all of heaven's resources will be yours. And with all of heaven's resources, believe me, you can defeat the flesh. Amen. Come on, you can defeat the flesh. You want to defeat the devil, amen, and you're seriously committed to dealing with what's wrong inside of each one of us? God is seriously committed to fixing what's wrong inside of us so that we can have real victory over the enemy. Can you say amen? But you can't get it just by sitting there looking at me on Sunday or looking at some preacher on television or just reading this book without a passionate heart for God and a real wholehearted commitment to obey Him. Amen. So he hit it 3 times. And it denoted something wrong still in his heart. Because this was to represent the smiting of God's enemies. And he should have went, he said, that's wrong. the prophet, this sickly prophet, looking at this king with all this strength, says, You ain't got but three smites? That's the best you can do? You're doing something symbolic of the victory God wants to give you, and you just hit it three times? He said, You should have smitten it five or six times. You understand what he's telling you? You don't pull it halfway. You pull it like this. You don't smite three times. You.
Hallelujah!
You want victory?
Yeah.
That's how you get victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! You want to defeat the devil? That's how you defeat the devil. You got to get wholehearted in this thing. You can't play with faith. You can't play with your enemy either. Somebody said, I wish I had the devil's head right here and he could materialize. I'd do this. Well, I hope you would. I hope you wouldn't do this. Bad old devil. If you ever get him materialized, you give him this. Hallelujah. That's what's wrong with the church. We teach on faith. We pull the bow about halfway. Half-heartedness. Let me tell you the result of this half-heartedness. The man of God was wroth with him. You should have smitten five or six times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. That's what happens at altars. Half-hearted repentance. We don't defeat that enemy. But if anyone comes to an altar and wholeheartedly commits himself to overcome, they're going to walk out of anything that's binding them. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? There's nothing can hold them. Their enemy will be totally defeated. It won't be a temporary victory, but right back into the same patterns anymore. No, that is not revival. That is not salvation, and that is not deliverance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The man of God was wroth with him, said, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, you'll get a partial victory. It's a great truth. It's crystal clear in Scripture, in both the Old and New Testament. In all areas of faith and faithfulness, in our worship, in our serving, in our obedience, and in our devotion, God requires wholeheartedness. Half-hearted in the dictionary means lacking heart, spirit, or interest. Joash obviously lacked faith, but he certainly didn't lack opportunity. God was trying to help him to become a man of valor. They had three victories, and then they suffered defeats from their enemy. You ever seen that in church? Somebody gets a victory, but then they turn around and they're defeated, and you say, why didn't that victory last? Because they didn't wholeheartedly commit, and that's why the defeats are able to come. Joash didn't wholeheartedly commit to that victory. And if you haven't, I'm going to tell you how your life is. No matter what you say to me, I'm going to tell you how your life is. You're going to have some victories and you're going to have some defeats. And the defeats are going to take away the joy of the victories. And after a while, even in your victories, you know down the road defeat's coming because that's the pattern you're in. Have a victory, get defeated. One step forward, two steps back. And after a while, the heart to get victory is being lost. And people get discouraged and people go back. Can you say amen? And give up. That's why the Bible says keep your heart with what? All diligence for what? Out of it are the issues or the forces of life. Can you say amen? It's a matter of the heart. That's why God says if you're going to love me, there's only one acceptable way to do it. And it's for the sake of keeping your heart. Amen? Do it with all. With everything. Wholeheartedly. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone in here wholeheartedly committed to obeying God? So when the Word of God came, what we saw in the Word, we took it to heart. And when Moses went up the mountain, said, they sent him up. When God was on Sinai, said, speak unto God, see what He wants, and tell us that we might do it. And he got to the top of the mountain. God said, oh, there was such a heart in them. They draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Can you say, man? That's why someone can sing in a choir and sing these wonderful praises of God and then go out to clubbing in Ybor City on Saturday night and put on the choir robe on Sunday morning and sing these wonderful praise and worship songs. Hello? That's not wholeheartedly serving God. That's what this is talking about. Can you see? And you've got to understand, this is a sick old man getting ready to die. But he's all right on the inside, isn't he? Oh, outside's breaking down. Ain't nothing wrong with that man on the inside. That was the same way with, what was the 85-year-old prophet that had to wander with Israel for 40 years because of their unbelief? Amen. Or 80 years old, 80 or 85 years old, and he's walking around, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I do not believe he was Superman. But on the outside, I think that 80 was 80. I know God gave him supernatural strength, but I don't believe in his natural strength. He could have went over and fought enemies and dispossessed them off the land. But he saw that mountain and everybody looking over him because he was a member of AARP. Did you say, man? They were looking over him. Amen. And they thought, well, you know, we're going to send men of war because we're going to send the young men of war. And here stands this 80-year-old guy, you know, has wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with him. And he's standing there looking at that mountain that he walked on when he was 40 years old. And he told Joshua, he said, you see that mountain? Do you see that mountain? Can you hear it in his mouth? Do you see that? You see that mountain? No. Well, I'm telling you, when you were just this big, I was... No, he said, do you see that mountain? That's my mountain. God told me it was mine. And I'm just as... Can you hear it inside? I'm just as strong to go get it now as I was then. Hallelujah. I wasn't going in my strength then. And it's not based on my strength now. This 80-year-old man, give me a sword. Somebody give me a sword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. That's what God's looking for in faith. That's what God's looking for in service. That's what God's looking for to send a revival. Hallelujah. The prophet's body was failing, but not his heart. Not his enthusiasm. Not his great zeal for God. Not his faith. He wanted to help Joash to rise up on the inside and with wholehearted faith claim complete victory. Take the bow and arrow, pull it back, shoot toward the east in the direction of your enemy. And he put his hands on the king's hands. If you by faith pull back the bow, God will put his hand on your hand. The result will be a God-given victory as a result of wholehearted faith. God infuses his supernatural strength and ability. Prophet told Joash, strike the ground with the rest of the arrows. He did it three times. Can you see? There's not. He said, that's not how you get victory over your enemies. There's no passion. Come on, the church today nods. And no, not because you're nodding. I appreciate it. I need the nods sometimes. Keep it up. Some people just, you just keep that up. But they nod in mental agreement to things that can only be spiritually conceived. Hello?
Amen.
I mean, there's somebody preaching on victory this morning to people he know don't have it and are not going to do what's necessary to get it. So his phone's going to ring off the hook to try to fix what's wrong on the inside that they're not willing to address. Hello? You know why so many people are so disappointed in people? Because they're so out of touch with God. I'm so out of touch with God. Such a shame. If something's wrong on the inside of you, no church is going to satisfy you. No preacher is going to satisfy you. Let me clue you in on something else. No man going to satisfy you. No woman going to satisfy you. Amen. You're going to look over the fence after a year and say, boy, I don't know. I got this one. There's that one. There's this one. Boy, that one over there. If I had that one, now that is different. Can you say, man, now I can be happy. I mean, gals do the same things. Amen. We always talk about men in affairs as if women just sit home and say, I'm faithful and he's a louse. That's baloney. They do it too. Can you say, man? Amen. You know what happens when things are wrong on the inside? Now, we can't find a place of service because we're looking for something to satisfy us. Amen. We're not looking for a church to serve in. We're looking for something to titillate us, something to satisfy us all. And God ought to satisfy us. Amen. To where we go somewhere and serve sometime. So we can get out of the line of need and get into the line of Christian service and tell somebody with a genuine need, such as I have, give I thee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He hits it three times. The prophet's mad at him. He still don't get it. Half-hearted people don't get it. Hey, I took the bow, didn't I? I pointed it where you said point it, didn't I? I smoked with the arrows. I did everything you told me to do, didn't I? He said, yeah, but you didn't do it with your whole heart. That's the issue. That was the issue of the first love being gone at Ephesus. They used to do it with their whole heart, and they didn't anymore. And God said, this is intolerable. Can you say amen? If you're not wholehearted in what you're doing isn't acceptable to me anymore, even though what you're doing is what I told you to do. Are you still here? Did he tell them that? What was wrong with Ephesus? He told them everything's right with him. He said, but one thing, and this one thing is so serious that if you don't correct it, you're going to lose your influence. With all the right things, this one thing, you're not wholehearted in what you're doing anymore. You're doing it religiously, but not from the heart anymore. Can you say amen? You've left your what? First love. Anniversary comes. We just had our 40th wedding anniversary. I can say, oh my, I'm working all this. I got to get a card. I got to get a card. She'll be mad if I don't get a card. So I run in and I say, oh, there's a pretty card. Oh, I bet she'll like that flower. It's a great flower. See what the verse says. Oh, honey, you're my life. Oh, you're my everything. Oh, you're the essence of all of my life. You are the woman for me, the greatest woman I've ever known or ever will know. You are the woman for me. Oh, that's great. She'll love that. She won't be mad at me now. Scribble my name on the bottom. Put it in an envelope. Buy some chocolates. Lay it on the table. I did it. But I guarantee you, Pamela Ann Venable knows by the way I treat her the rest of the year if I meant anything in that gesture. It's not what I did on that day. It's what I do the other 364 days. That'll make her know I'm passionately committed to her in love. Amen? Amen? How many know a card just won't cut it? Well, don't cut it with God either, even though it's the right thing to do. It's quiet, isn't it? Half-heartedness can be described as indecision or double-mindedness, a lack of enthusiasm, sometimes because of the lack of a clear goal. Half-heartedness causes the heart, the head, and the hands to hang down. Half-heartedness, although common, understandable, and sometimes explainable, whether the result of fatigue, disappointment, or disillusionment. Anybody ever had fatigue? Amen. Anybody ever been disappointed at all? Amen. Everybody even been disillusioned? You thought something was going to happen. It didn't happen. It took you back. Half-heartedness, no matter what the excuse for it, it's always dangerous. Amen? Amen? It's always dangerous because it limits God. It stops God from giving the complete victories that He wants to give. And He wants to give complete victories. I want to see people come to altars wholeheartedly so that God can give them complete victory over the enemy of their soul. And they can start living for Christ with joy and with strength. Can you say amen? When you get your kids saved, you want them to make a half-hearted commitment up here or a wholehearted commitment? Then it's going to take a challenge from the pulpit and a move of the Holy Ghost in this audience. Not just a preacher with eloquent words persuading them to walk down one Sunday. Because it's not what they do at the altar that constitutes real repentance. It's what you do when you leave the altar that constitutes true repentance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Repentance means an about face, 180 degree turn. You can begin that journey at the altar, but it happens when you walk away and you choose God's path.
Amen.
Will you stand to your feet today? There are warnings given as people go into the promised land because you can lose that wholehearted commitment to God when all these blessings are heaped upon you and you're not having to fight for them anymore. One good thing about fighting for things is that it keeps you centered and keeps you focused on God. So sometimes Satan's best laid plans backfire. Really inspired me when Dale told me one time about Christian growth and spiritual growth in her own personal life and many of your lives. Said the things that once put us on our back now put us on our face before God. Isn't that good? I took that to heart and I said something's happening in this audience. The things that used to knock us down and send us reeling backwards now just cause us to fall forward in the presence of God and ask for His help and deliverance. And what happens when we do that, church? He comes to our aid. A humble and contrite spirit, he comes. Expression of faith like that is always blessed by the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:9, it says there's a warning given as the people are about to enter the promised land that if future generations go to worshiping idols, they'll be scattered. In that condition, Moses promised, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Can you say amen? That is not making it hard. That is getting your heart so set on him that Satan can't use all these other things to pull you and distract you away from him. Your eye becomes single. You bow to no other gods. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. The decision is pre-made before the crossroad ever comes. If it's God's way or my way, not my will, but thine be done. If it's God's way or the way of the world, I stand not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's wholehearted commitment. Can you say amen? If you're reading Harper's Bazaar, you're reading Ladies' Home Journal, if you're reading any of the periodicals out there, amen, or watching some of the talking heads on television with such wisdom, amen, understand that's worldly wisdom. That's all that is. Amen. It's not what you're to walk by or live by in your life. So blessed is the man that makes such a wholehearted commitment to God that he doesn't stand in the count. He doesn't try to blend what the Scripture says with what some guest on Oprah had to say or Dr. Phil. It says something about your mind. Dr. Phil can't fix everything that's wrong with your mind. Dr. Phil from a group of psychologists, the most unexact science there is. Amen. The divorce rate among marriage counselors is the exact same as the people they counsel. Hello? That's like a driving instructor coming up with, amen, revoked driver's license and his bumper off his car and the back glass busted out and the fender all bent down. And you're saying, this guy's going to teach me to drive? I don't think so. Blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If God says something, I mean, Jesus said a dead person isn't really dead because he's the resurrection, and they laugh him to scorn. Well, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Can you say amen? Stand apart from the crowd and say, God is God no matter what anybody else says about it. Hallelujah. Can these bones live? Yeah, if you want them to live, they can live. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing to it with you, God. To walk in the way of sinners. One thing's for sure, you're going to hang with a new crowd if you're going to wholeheartedly follow God. Can you say that? For what fellowship hath light with darkness or Christ with Belial? Come out from among them and be ye gloriously, wonderfully, powerfully separate, saith the Lord, and I'll be your God and you'll be my children. I'll be a father to you. Hallelujah. You serve me wholeheartedly and I'll wholly commit myself to you. The great revival that I'm going to send will come through those who are forgiven much. You know why those who are forgiven much will lead this revival? Because he that's forgiven much loves much, saith God. And those who love much serve me wholeheartedly. And those who serve me wholeheartedly pull back the bow with all of their might. Yea, saith God, and I put my hands upon their hands. And yea, there will be a supernatural move of my spirit through such people, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this place. So you know Satan's desire and design. It's very clear this morning. He wants you to do enough in terms of obedience and loving God. Sing with the choir. Read along with the pastor. Amen a couple of times. He wants you to do just enough to say, I did it. But not enough to get your whole life involved in following Jesus. Can you say amen? Keep you half-baked, lukewarm, winning some victories, but losing just as many as you win. And there's no way if you win 3 and lose 3 that you can vanquish an enemy. Can you say amen? There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. It requires wholeheartedness for real lasting victory. And this ebb and flow of Pentecostalism has cost us dearly in our reputation, because we claim a power that's greater than what's in the First Baptist Church this morning, flowing in and through our life. So it definitely isn't a power issue. It definitely isn't that God isn't willing to put His hands on your hands. It's a heart issue.
Amen.
We've got the power. We need the wholehearted commitment. So I'm going to ask a real poignant question. How is it in our hearts today? How is it in the heart? People are looking for a church with a lot of entertainment. They can blend with the crowd. See, you come here and you're not wholehearted. You stand out.
Amen.
We're too small. I'm sorry. You stand out. Can you say amen? And it makes you uncomfortable. Not that everybody's looking at you, just that you know, I'm not part of this.